Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
In light of World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, which is June 15th, the FBI office in Phoenix, Arizona, is raising awareness about cyber scams that target the elderly. I had a chance to catch up with Kate Fazzini. She's a cybersecurity reporter for CNBC. She also has a new book out titled Kingdom of Lies, Unnerving Adventures in a World of Cybercrime. And my first question to her was, what was some of the most interesting and shocking things that she was able to uncover in this book?
Well, from the very beginning, one of the most surprising things to me was how much like American businesses these cyber criminal organizations are run. And that started well before even I had gotten into journalism, when I was working as a cybersecurity practitioner. And so I sought out and found people involved in this underground and got this amazing portrait of these entire towns changed by cybercrime across Eastern Europe, with just tons of money flowing in from the U.S. and from Europe, from the crimes that you're really familiar with. And so from there, I just wanted to, you know, take a microscope to what is really going on there so we could learn something new.
Fazzini also says that social media companies have an impossible job ahead as they rely on algorithms that promote disagreement and therefore outlandish statements, and as President Trump calls it, fake news, are often promoted on their site. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
What a sight to behold, Colonel. The veterans of D-Day were proudly honored on the 75th anniversary of that miraculous moment just a few days ago, which was brought about by months of planning, deception, preparation, and a sheer will to overcome the enemy, no matter the cost. What an unbelievably brave group of men to stare death in the face and keep pushing forward.
Thank you, Josh. And Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will join us to share some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is planning a family vacation later this month. Where are you going, Skip?
Well, Colonel, I'm going to the West Coast, about as far as you can go without walking into the ocean.
As in, like, Washington or Oregon?
Actually, Oregon. Yep.
My family vacation reunion is in Oregon in August.
Oh.
So don't awesome. Mess it up.
I'll do my best, Colonel.
You know, that's the Irish state. It's properly pronounced Oregon.
Now that I didn't know. I'll let my in-laws know about that.
Okay. Well, okay, here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to suggest that Congressman Amash and others who contend that our commander-in-chief obstructed justice are just plain wrong. Then Sheriff Michelle Young. She began her career in the Army. We'll discuss how police and military are the same and how they're different. Then we'll meet Spencer Brown from the Young Americans Foundation. We'll discuss the intense hostility towards conservatives, including veterans and ROTC students, on many college campuses. Next, Air Force vet Ron Kraft will discuss his flight long ago in a KC-135 refueler when they saved some lives. And Max DeBack, who will enter the U.S. Air Force Academy this summer, will discuss his journey.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, as you know, on each show we have honored a deceased military person, not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, but must have served honorably on active duty, guard, or reserve. I'm out, and I need more vets to honor. If you want to nominate someone, send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service that I could read on the show. Send the information to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Well, now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
Russia has withdrawn key defense advisors from Venezuela, an embarrassment for President Maduro, as Moscow weighs the leader's political and economic resilience against growing U.S. pressure. Russian state defense contractor Rostec, which has trained Venezuelan troops and advised on securing arms contracts, has cut its staff in Venezuela to just a few dozen, down from about 1,000 several years ago, according to a source close to the Russian defense ministry. The gradual pullout, which has escalated over the last several months, is due to a lack of new contracts and the acceptance that Mr. Maduro's regime no longer has the cash to continue to pay for services. Russia has been among Maduro's biggest international supporters, but this winding down shows the limits of Russia's reach in the South American country, at a time when Moscow is facing economic difficulties, in part due to the impact of U.S. sanctions. Venezuela has been one of Moscow's largest customers in South America.
Well, I guess economic sanctions do work. Now let's see what China does.
The powerful Lebanese Hezbollah militia has thrived for decades on generous cash handouts from Iran, spending lavishly on benefits for its fighters, funding social services for its constituents, and accumulating a formidable arsenal that has helped make the group a significant regional force, with troops in Syria and Iraq. But since President Trump introduced sweeping new restrictions on trade with Iran last year, Iran's ability to finance allies like Hezbollah has been curtailed. Hezbollah, the best-funded and most senior of Tehran's proxies, has seen a sharp fall in its revenue and is being forced to make draconian cuts to its spending, according to Hezbollah officials, members, and supporters. Fighters are being furloughed or assigned to the reserves, where they receive lower salaries or no pay at all. Many of them are being withdrawn from Syria, where the militia has played an instrumental role in fighting on behalf of President al-Assad and ensuring his survival. Programs on Hezbollah's television station Al-Manar have been canceled and their staff laid off. The once ample spending programs that underpinned the group's support among Lebanon's historically impoverished Shiite community have been slashed, including the supply of free medicines and even groceries to fighters, employees, and their families.
Tariffs can be a form of economic warfare. Hey, would you rather send your military men and women into combat or conduct combat this way? Thank you, President Trump.
Our Army recently invited defense firms to design and build prototypes of an advanced fire control system that could equip the service's next-generation squad weapon with wind sensing as well as facial recognition technology. The goal is to develop a system that increases the soldier's ability to rapidly engage man-sized targets out to 600-plus meters while maintaining the ability to conduct close-quarters battle. This program involves two weapon systems, chambered for a special 6.8-millimeter round that will replace the M249 squad automatic weapon and the M4M4A1 carbine. Both versions of the weapon would be equipped with a sophisticated fire control designed with the following characteristics: an adjusted aiming point that considers range to target, atmospheric conditions, and ballistics of weapon and ammunition; wireless communication capable of transmitting fire control data such as range to target, ballistic solution, and temperature; a wired port that will send and receive data and allow for software updates; and a start time within 1 second from off to fully active using common batteries.
This sounds very interesting. I wonder if the facial recognition system would keep me from picking up and using a weapon on the battlefield if my weapon failed.
The U.S.-led coalition said recently it had unintentionally killed over 1,300 civilians in airstrikes during its fight against ISIS in Iraq and Syria since 2014. The figure is far lower than the death tolls given by groups which have monitored the conflicts in the two countries. The coalition conducted 34,502 airstrikes between August 2014 and the end of April 2019. During this period, it assesses that at least 1,302 civilians have been unintentionally killed by coalition strikes. The coalition said it was still assessing 111 additional claims of civilian deaths and was ready to receive new allegations or evidence to review. The coalition has repeatedly said it does all it can to avoid civilian deaths. Amnesty International welcomed the latest acknowledgement of responsibility, but said the real civilian death toll was likely much higher. The coalition is continuing to work to deny Islamic State any physical space and influence in the region, as well as denying them the resources they need to resurge.
While the number of civilian casualties is unfortunately quite large, these analysis groups are for some reason missing the boat. The rules of warfare required combatants to dress like warriors and to avoid, when possible, being near civilian centers, schools, hospitals, and the like. The Islamist terrorists here violate all these rules, thus putting the civilians at risk by having many of them in or around valid targets. Why isn't this an issue? It should be.
The nation is now only in the rudimentary stages of addressing the mental health issues at the root of veteran suicides and homelessness, said VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. Wilkie said the VA, working with the Departments of Labor and Housing and Urban Development, had made considerable progress in getting homeless veterans off the streets. Secretary Wilkie said the homeless rate among veterans has been cut in half since 2010 and is down another 5% as of last year. But HUD estimates that about 40,000 veterans are still homeless on any given night. Secretary Wilkie said, quote, "But there is another catastrophe that is no longer on the horizon, that you are meeting every day, and that is suicide among those who have worn the uniform," end quote. He again cited the grim statistic that has persisted for years. Every day, 20 veterans take their lives, a rate 1.5 times that of the civilian population. Wilkie said his new mission is daunting and requires more outreach at the state and local level in a whole-of-government approach to curbing the veteran suicide rate. Wilkie said, quote, "If we don't do those things, then this will be just another task force," end quote.
It is my opinion that our VA is now working more effectively to deal with the veterans' homeless and suicide issues and also to give all veterans the support they deserve. I'm glad about that. And that's the news. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk with Army vet Sheriff Michelle Young. Eddie's troops, take a break. As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Ash is proud to work with DECA to offer high-quality products, honest value, and consistency you can trust.
Home-based products cover all of your pantry essentials, from tissue paper to reusable containers, offering you the quality you expect and the savings you deserve.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Women should never walk alone in parks, parking garages, or other secluded areas. Rapists, murderers, and robbers look for the lone walker as it enhances their chance of success. Serial rapists need only one woman and will let two women pass on by. So bring a friend along for your walk. And don't forget to stay alert as you walk. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honorary Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, honor, and remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. My Congressman, Justin Amash, is a guy I like and with whom I share some values. We both agree, for example, that the U.S. Constitution is a legal document that says what it says and doesn't say what it doesn't say. We're both unhappy with a two-party system in Washington where the leaders of both parties stay in power. One's in power at any given time, but both know the power will shift again and again, always between them. And Amash has properly criticized his own Tea Party wing of the party for selling out on its principles. We're both a bit libertarian, him quite a bit, he says, but Amash is inappropriately attacking our commander-in-chief. Libertarian Senator Paul Rand also disagreed with Amash's call for impeachment, arguing that Amash was giving the U.S.'s corrupt intelligence agencies a pass. Paul said, libertarians like myself have for a long time said the intelligence community has too much power and that we're very concerned that either the CIA or FBI could be investigating Americans for political purposes. You know, I looked at Amash's ratings for his votes in Congress. The only three veteran organizations who provide ratings showed Amash very low. Vietnam Veterans of America gave him a 0%, AMVETS a 23%, and the Fleet Reserve Association 50%. Those are the lowest ratings I've ever seen. So much for supporting our military and veterans. Oh, and the police are in the same boat. The National Association of Police Organizations rated him at different times at 11%, 30%. 31%, and 50%. Barf. Amash's several tweets accusing the president of obstruction are similar to those from networks like CNN. Here's why I feel Amash is wrong. He has six issues. One, Trump asked the FBI director to stop investigating Michael Flynn, who had been his campaign advisor and national security advisor, and who had already committed a crime by lying to the FBI. First of all, there's no evidence that this conversation took place beyond the word of James Comey, the same James Comey who submitted a FISA warrant application stating that Christopher Steele's dossier was verified, and he later called it unverified when testifying before Congress. And they didn't let the Flynn thing go, and Trump never pushed them to do so afterwards. No actions resulted. No obstructive act can happen if no act happens. Two, after Attorney General Sessions recused himself from the Russian investigation, Trump directly asked Sessions to reverse his recusal so that he could remain in control over the investigation and help the president. Asking the Attorney General to remain in charge of an investigation does not end the investigation or impede it. It doesn't deprive the investigation of anything and, therefore, does not obstruct. Furthermore, Amash's reasoning why Trump did it is wild speculation, and Sessions remained recused. Therefore, no action resulted. No obstructive act can happen if no act happens. Three, Trump directed White House counsel Don McGahn to have special counsel Mueller removed on the basis of pretextual conflicts of interest that Trump advisors had already told him were ridiculous and could not justify removing the special counsel. Like keeping on Sessions as the AG, removing Mueller as the head of a special counsel does not end the special counsel or the investigation. It does not impede the investigation or deprive it of anything required, and therefore it does not obstruct. And McGahn did not follow through this alleged request, so there was no obstructive act. When that event was publicly reported, Trump asked that McGahn make a public statement and created a false internal record stating that Trump had not asked him to fire the special counsel and suggested that McGahn would be fired if he did not comply. Let's pretend that this was true. It wasn't. And that Trump intentionally told McGahn to lie to the press. Lying to the media is not lying to the special counsel and therefore is not obstruction. Finally, McGahn refused the alleged request and never called Rosenstein. No action, no obstruction. 5. Trump asked Corey Lewandowski, his former campaign manager, to tell Attorney General Sessions to limit the special counsel's investigation only to future election interference. Trump said Lewandowski could tell Sessions he was fired if he would not meet with him. Trump disputes this characterization, and Lewandowski says he refused the alleged order and never told Sessions to do this. No action, no obstruction. 6. Trump used his pardon power to influence his associates, including Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen, not to cooperate with the investigation. It's not true. What Mueller claimed that Trump's aides said to Cohen consisted of such lines as, Trump wants to check to see if you're okay, hang in there, stay strong. And this was right after Cohen's office was raided by the feds. No mention of a pardon or hint of anything transactional. The Manafort evidence is even flimsier. It has two pieces of evidence, Trump saying that Manafort was treated unfairly in public, and Giuliani suggesting on TV that some people might be pardoned once the investigation ends. In both these cases, Mueller brought up the instances of Trump saying that neither Cohen nor Manafort would flip. When Trump says this, it's clear that this is a witch hunt and that flipping means they'll lie to the investigators at his expense to get a reduced sentence. In each of these cases, there was no act taken, no obstruction. In the final case, the notion of dangling pardons for Cohen and Manafort, Amash calls generic well-wishing and Giuliani's statements as implication that Trump would pardon these people. No quid pro quo was established, no offer ever made, no pardon ever granted. Bottom line, there was no collusion, no abuse of power. Congressman Amash was wrong. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have today for us, Roland?
DARPA, the Department of Defense's research arm, is paying scientists to invent ways to instantly read soldiers' minds by using tools like genetic engineering, nanotechnology, and infrared beams. The end goal? Thought-controlled weapons, like swarms of drones that someone sends to the skies with a single thought, or the ability to beam images from one brain to another. DARPA, which stands for the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, has funded 6 teams for the Next Generation Non-Surgical Neural Technology Program. The teams are tasked with developing technology that will provide a two-way channel for rapid and seamless communication between the human brain and machines without requiring surgery. Imagine for a minute that I'm operating a drone. There's this latency where I want to communicate with the machine, and I have to send a signal from my brain to move my fingers, which then controls the drone. This limits the speed at which I can interact with the system. So the thought is, maybe we can improve that speed of interaction. This type of breakthrough could be crucial as smart machines and a tidal wave of data threaten to overwhelm humans. And it could ultimately find applications in both the military and civilian domains. While there have been breakthroughs in our ability to read and even write information to the brain, these advances have generally relied upon brain implants in patients, which has allowed physicians to monitor conditions like epilepsy. Brain surgery is obviously way too risky to justify such interfaces in able-bodied people, and the current external ways in which electrodes are attached directly to the scalp are just plain too inaccurate. As such, DARPA is trying to spur a breakthrough in non-invasive, or at least minimally invasive, brain-computer interfaces. Now, to be honest, I don't know how much I really like this idea, but it does excite me that we continue to push the boundaries of what we think is possible. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Army veteran Sheriff Michelle Young. Then we'll meet Spencer Brown from Young Americans for Freedom. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back, troops. It's time for planks. Let's do 3 minutes each and do 10, then stand at ease.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Minority Leader Republican Kevin McCarthy from California is urging House Democrats to drop their hearings on the Mueller report and focus on a crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border.
Chairman Nadler, who ran for chairman on the idea to impeach, but he ran for Congress on the idea that he can legislate. The jurisdiction of his committee should deal with this issue.
McCarthy is referring to chairman of the House Judiciary Committee there, Jerry Nadler, who is holding hearings this week on the Mueller report. Comedian Jon Stewart is pushing for an extension of the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund before the House Judiciary Committee. The funds are running low and expected to run out in December of 2020.
Certainly 9/11 first responders shouldn't have to decide whether to live or to have a place to live.
The Victims Compensation Fund is nonpartisan and set to help out anyone who demonstrates their illness as a result of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why Indeed offers tools that help bridge the gap between a candidate and the resume. Like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Kent County, Michigan, Sheriff Michelle Young. She has also served in our Army. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Sheriff Young.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Michelle, you served for a while in Mother Army.
Yes,
talk to
I
us
did.
About your service and what did you do?
Yeah, well, I joined the Army Reserves when I was fresh out of high school, actually just towards the end of my high school time, really as a way to serve the country when I really didn't even have a good picture on what that would look like and how it would be, but I knew I wanted to be a person of service. And I also knew that I had some challenges paying for college, and that wouldn't hurt that endeavor either. So I joined the Army Reserves. I became involved with Army ROTC at Michigan State University and found that I grew exponentially in my ability to serve and understand what service meant through the ROTC program. I eventually became commissioned, first as a second lieutenant, and then first lieutenant, and then captain during my stint with the Reserves. And I also transitioned for a period of time to the National Guard in Michigan as part of that service. I grew tremendously through those experiences in my ability to understand bigger pictures, develop longer-term strategies, and also in my ability to lead people.
Well, that's sort of important, all of those things. What branch were you in the Army?
Well, I was military police when I first enlisted. I eventually became an S1 dealing largely with personnel and policy decisions, and I was commissioned in the AG.
When you got out, did you then go immediately into law enforcement or what?
So I had a lot of simultaneous service because I was in the reserves and I was, for the most part, serving part-time. I began my law enforcement career about 4 years into my military career. Military career eventually spanned 13 years, and my law enforcement career has now up to 30 years and hoping to continue much longer, actually.
Okay, that makes sense. And I take it that the same sense of service is what drew you into the military and into law enforcement.
Absolutely. That need to serve my community has been my draw for public service since I was a young child and as early as I can remember. Obviously different in different capacities between the military and law enforcement, but there are a lot of similarities in that service perspective as well.
Indeed. Did that service come something traditional in your family, or is it something that you sort of popped up with?
It did. My father served as a law enforcement officer as long as I can remember. He eventually became sheriff in our community that I grew up in, which is Shiawassee County. And really from the time I was about 10, I remember my dad always being approached in the community, looking to help problem solve an issue or looking for advice on what direction somebody should head. And I always remember my dad stopping everything and saying, "What can I help you with?" And intently listening and trying to be balanced in his comments, but being frank and straightforward in giving advice or direction as needed. And I always respected that about him, and it was something that I knew I wanted to emulate, and it's something I have strived to emulate my entire adult career.
That sure sounds like a good leadership model.
It absolutely is. Even to this day, I look to him as a mentor, and I still receive guidance from him today. So I'm very blessed in that way.
I believe you. Talk about your law enforcement career. What did you join doing what? You've always been in the same department. Talk a little bit about that.
So when I initially joined the county sheriff's office, this was my first, my first full-time job outside of the military. I had several part-time jobs trying to get through college, just like most people do. And I initially joined the force in corrections, and I was a corrections deputy for the first 3 years of my career. I became involved as part of that service with some technology upgrades for the correctional facility. And way back when in Kent County, we were building what we considered the new jail at that point, which was 1991. And the new jail invoked some new technology and also some new correction strategies. So I became involved in that transition project and developed some expertise in communication. So at some point, I switched from corrections over to our communications division and worked very extensively with our comm center, the dispatch center, and some of the consolidation projects that eventually would come to be to help modernize 911 in Kent County. And also in the state of Michigan, I've been involved quite a bit with broader projects at the state and federal level in communications. Eventually, I desired to be more directly involved with our law enforcement side, and so I transitioned to our law enforcement side of the house and became a sector commander for the south of our county, which are the four south townships, about 144 square miles of the county. Found it completely satisfying to lead the troops on the law enforcement side. And they just do tremendous work, and they have a tremendous heart for service. And to be able to facilitate their work really meant a lot for me. I eventually got promoted to captain. And as captain, I came back and directed our community police units, our training unit, our administrative services unit, and emergency management. And I did that for a number of years and was really instrumental in updating the technology in our patrol cars from that point, allowing us to do automated reporting and do some other things that kept us in the community working for more hours out of every shift, which did help us quite a bit in improving our response times and improving our report resolutions, because we were able to resolve issues better by spending more time on them. I also helped put electronic reporting in place for citizens so they can go online and make a report, something that they don't necessarily need to see an officer in person for, but something that they need to report to the sheriff's office in case other issues are going on in a similar nature. So I'm proud of that history as well. About 10 years ago, I was promoted to chief deputy and worked very hard at the personnel side of the house and officer wellness issues, policy and procedure and streamlining at the office of the sheriff level. I was appointed to undersheriff, probably 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago now, and worked under Sheriff Stelma for those years and gathered a lot of really, really important advice and mentoring from Sheriff Stelma. And I have now been sheriff since November of 2018, and I'm finding that quite satisfying as well.
Well, I believe so. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Sheriff Michelle Young. Michelle, I have often said that law enforcement officers, speaking as a military guy, are not our brothers and sisters in arms, but they sure are our first cousins in valor because they daily put their lives on the line to protect people they don't even know, some of whom don't even like them. I'm assuming that you agree with this and that it matches your experience.
Absolutely. I think that's very well put.
Because as we look at the sheepdog analysis that is sometimes used, that the sheep are the people that need protecting and the sheepdogs are the ones that protect them. Sheepdogs aren't always popular until they're needed. And I think that certainly fits a lot about police officers, too. We're going to take a break in just a minute. When we come back after the break, I'd like to talk about how we might interact, we people might best interact with police officers, law enforcement officers of all kind. They're just people, too. The last time I checked, they were all just people, right, Michelle?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's our plan. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it is push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Michelle and I will be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. Online, on your time. Visit Citadel.com. .edu/online.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes, plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
100 Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Sheriff Michelle Young. Michelle, we're going to talk about some of the similarities between police and military. You know, under the international rules of war, combatants must dress to look like combatants and must neither place themselves near civilians or non-combatants, nor may they target them. Yet not following these rules makes one a war criminal, but in today's terrorism-type wars, we fight only war criminals because they both dress like civilians and hide behind them and they target them. In one respect, that makes combat troops and police officers a lot alike, doesn't it? Because all you deal with is civilians as a rule. Am I right?
Generally as a rule, that's correct. We are very similar in that way.
Because that means, in every case, soldiers and police officers have to approach every situation with a degree of caution because it could turn lethal, and they have to be ready. Am I right?
That's absolutely right. It forces both soldiers and police officers to have as wide of perception as they possibly can manage to be able to keep that tactical advantage in case they have to act. But they also have to put themselves in a place close enough where they're able to take in clues as to what's going on, what the current situation is, and therefore they then behave the best way possible towards that situation. Because they can just as easily misunderstand a non-threatening situation as a threat as the converse.
It is, and I don't know how you train people to be able to perfectly or even almost perfectly assess every situation. So it's a challenge for every officer, isn't it?
It's a challenge for every officer. And as a person in my place in the department now, where I'm trying to make sure that we are training people and preparing them, it's a tremendous challenge for that role. Because, one, you've made the very astute statement that near perfect is probably all we can expect from a human being. Because they only see what they see, and they're taking in the information at such a fast rate and having to make literally hundreds of thousands of decisions with every piece of information they're taking in. It is impossible for every person to do it perfectly in every circumstance. But by inserting as much time as we can to allow their brains to catch up to the input that they're receiving from the environment, we improve their circumstance, we improve their ability to make those decisions, and we also improve the ability of a partner to add to the information they're taking in and help with a better decision. So that's really our focus in every training situation that we have, is trying to infuse time, a reactionary distance in some circumstance, information about what to listen for so that you pick up on it in the environment. And really, that's the trend with soldiers as well. That's what they're trying to push soldiers to understand at a higher depth.
And that's perfectly logical. We should do that. We want to do that. But even the best people occasionally have bad days.
Right.
And sometimes judgment isn't right. And in those circumstances, the officer or the soldier is still a good person, a good officer, a good soldier. They're just imperfect, but we knew that. But that's tough when you happen to be the civilian who's in the middle of this, right?
Yeah, it really is. And so as a civilian, I think there are ways that we can help infuse that time for the officer or the soldier in the other context. If we can help develop a further understanding of that officer and give them an opportunity to think clearly, we're in a better position and we're probably going to have a better result.
Well, and that's what we want as a civilian in my community. Mm-hmm. I want everything to go well. And if I know what I can do, slow things down, be more clear in a situation, then I can do that. And I can't imagine why I wouldn't want to.
Correct.
But that doesn't mean, again, I'm a logical, rational person, blah, 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 but I also have bad days and do dumb things on occasion.
Right.
So the officer's got to take that into account too, doesn't he? Or
right,
so.
And that's part of our training, right? That's part of what we explain to the officer, that literally for most people, at that moment you're in contact with them, unless it's for a community relations contact, the moment you're in contact with a citizen, it is probably one of the worst days of their life because something really bad is happening. So you have to start with the understanding of who you're in contact with and the fact that they're inherently have a lot of anxiety about this contact. So these are some of the behaviors you can expect from a citizen, that nothing else is wrong besides the fact that they are completely distracted by the circumstance.
Well
and
said.
Help an officer understand that. And then the next part of it is, how do you drive down to the core issue that's going on without jeopardizing your own safety or the safety of that citizen?
Yeah, and if you just had a crystal ball that worked all the time, that'd be cool.
Right.
This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Sheriff Michelle Young. Michelle, to change the subject a bit, I recently did some traveling to my West Point 55th reunion. And in the traveling, I made it a point of every time I saw a police officer, and this was usually at airports or train stations, stuff like that, I went up and thanked them for protecting us. And in almost every case, they were shocked beyond belief that somebody would say that. That's a really appropriate thing to do, and I would presume it's much appreciated.
Absolutely much appreciated. There have been many circumstances over my career where at a bad moment, somebody in the community, you know, touched me on the shoulder, shook my hand, said, hey, we appreciate what you do for us. And the ability of that citizen to help uplift my spirit or the spirit of my staff, it's an impressive thing that they can do for us. And we do get a lot of very powerful, positive comments, but we absolutely appreciate every single one of them. And I would encourage every citizen to take a moment to thank the police officer that they come in contact with. Because you've said it, they are all human beings. They all have family and kids and husbands and wives and problems at home. And they put all of that aside every day and get in a patrol car and risk their life to protect you.
And it is my experience, and I don't have a lot of experience here, but I know a lot of police officers. Every organization has got some bad people. In every case I'm aware of, if an officer or deputy elected or somehow did something totally inappropriate, it's his fellow officers and deputies that will turn him in.
Oh, absolutely.
They
absolutely.
Are way too proud of their standards and won't tolerate a violation among their peers.
Yeah, the whole thought that there's this blue code that keeps officers from turning each other in, I don't know if that ever has been the case, but it's not been my experience in this profession, not even for a single day of my career over the last 30 years. Officers expect their partners to perform in a professional, effective way. And if they don't, they know those officers cause a risk to other officers' lives and citizens' lives. So they will work to get them out of the ranks.
That, again, my experience. Michelle, take a minute now and sum up the key point or two that you'd like our listeners to take from our conversation today.
I would just really like to thank you for your time and effort. And I really want to reiterate that law enforcement officers are here to serve. They're here to perform a very important function in the community. But the other part of that is the relationship with the community, and serving for the community is incredibly important as well. So if you want to know about law enforcement, if you want to know more about the work that they're doing, I encourage you to take a step and go forward and talk to an officer and take many opportunities to get to know them a little bit better and understand how they're serving. And then help them understand you a little bit better. What are important things to you, and how can they serve you?
That sounds like a win-win situation.
Yep.
Thank you, Sheriff Young, for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, both when you were in your Army and now. I appreciate you.
And thank you for your service as well, Colonel.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we get to honor this fine troop. A gruesome shark attack to a North Carolina teenager could have turned fatal had it not for the furious fists of her Marine vet father. 17-year-old Paige Winter had a leg and several fingers amputated following a shark attack at a Fort Macomb beach, and he was saved from a likely death by a series of blows from her father, Charlie, according to a Sunday Facebook post by her grandmother, Jane. Quote, "Thank God our son was with her," she wrote. "He said he punched the shark in the face 5 times before it let go." According to the New York Post, Charlie Winter is currently a firefighter with the nearby city of Havelock. The teenager was evacuated to Vidant Medical Center, where doctors treated her for deep lacerations to her leg, pelvic, and hand areas, according to ABC News affiliate. Her family expresses appreciation for the first responders, the individuals on the beach who helped, and her heroic father who saved her life. So stand tall, Marine Charlie Winter. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking about trouble on college campuses with YAF Representative Spencer Brown. Then Air Force vet Ron Kraft will discuss a time decades ago when his Air Force refueling tanker saved a life. And Max DeBlack will talk about his upcoming date at the Air Force Academy as a new cadet. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run. Run a couple of miles of wind sprints and grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Fisher House is a huge part of the recovery for wounded, injured, and ill service members and veterans. They provide a comfortable, safe place for their families. It's not a hotel. These houses are located at military and VA medical centers all over the U.S. and around the world. They have a common kitchen, laundry facilities, a warm dining room, and an inviting living room, too. Help make a difference in the lives of military and veterans' families. Learn how you can help Fisher House today at fisherhouse.org.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is touting a deal he struck with Mexico to avert tariffs.
Mexico is doing a great job at the border, really helping us. We want the Democrats to help us as much as Mexico, and we'll have absolutely no problem at the border. We'll clean it up very quickly.
President there speaking to reporters at the White House before heading off to Iowa. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan appearing before our Senate Judiciary Committee today to discuss the situation at our southern border. McAleenan claims the crisis at the border is getting worse.
This escalating set of crossings from 60,000 a month for the first 3 months of this year. When I came to this committee in December, I testified about a peak day of 3,029. We had 5,800 cross the last week of May. We've gone from 100,000 to 109,000, 144,000, divorced from the seasonal averages and processes we've seen in the past.
USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Captain Obvious, and every day thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like Becky's picture of another perfect waterfall, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Becky, it's that you hate that she's there, and you're at work listening to Lisa talk about her alleged food allergies. Don't hate like Becky's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
American small business remains bullish on the economy. With the latest, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Maintained by the National Federation of Independent Business, its Small Business Optimism Index for April is up, hitting a seven-month high. Most businesses reporting that sales improved in April after being soft in March. Job creation plans were up, hiring still strong, and the expectations for sales, business conditions, and credit conditions all improved. The Federation says the nation's small and independent businesses are bouncing back from a slow first quarter. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Former Vice President Joe Biden will hit President Trump head-on during a trip to Iowa on Tuesday. Trump and Biden will both be in the Hawkeye State at the same time today and tonight. In Biden's remarks, he's going to call Trump's presidency a threat to the United States. Meanwhile, the president often refers to Biden as Sleepy Joe. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
The Democratic-led House Judiciary Committee is continuing to hold hearings on the Mueller report. The White House says they're not impressed. That's according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. Someone else who's not impressed is ranking member on that committee, Republican Doug Collins of Georgia. He tells Fox News what was accomplished by interviewing John Dean.
Not a thing. It's about like watching late-night reruns on the cable channels where you see all the shows, you know what they're going to say, you laugh at the jokes before they ever get there. The problem was we just ended up yesterday seeing someone who's tried to recreate his career for 45 years by saying, I was part of a corrupt organization, I testified, and now I'm going to say everything is worse than what I did. That's how he's made a living for 45 years.
The congressman continues.
Let me be very honest. What they wanted there was they wanted the word Nixon and impeachment because they were trying to tie that word to the president. They cannot find any other way to tie this president to anything else except through innuendo and off-candid remarks. So they want the impeachment there so that they think, they let their base think that they're actually doing something, when in reality, they're just simply rehashing old times. And then they brought in two U.S. attorneys who have made it a living basically to get on MSNBC and CNN and other networks basically saying that Trump is bad and that if we'd have been there, we would have done this. Well, they wasn't there. They wasn't part of the Mueller investigation. And they're simply two basically law professors giving their opinion.
The congressman was speaking there on Fox News. For more news, please remember you can check out usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, 100in. This is Big C coming to you from 100inchamberradio.com. at the studio offices of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning 100in kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on 100in County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning 100in, 100inchamberradio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. That great institution allows cadets to further their education.